Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from 2 Kings in the 22nd chapter as we hear of Josiah, an unlikely king for the people of Israel, beginning with verses 1 and 2 and then moving over to verse 8. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adadah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And the high priest Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And when Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, he read it. Then Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workers who had oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "The high priest Hilkiah has given me a book." And Shaphan read it aloud to the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. The king commanded the priest Hilkiah, Akiam, son of Shaphan, Akbor, son of Milkiah, Shaphan, the secretary, and the king's servant, Asiah, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our ancestors did not obey the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we continue in this series of superheroes and other pop culture heroes this month. Today we land in a little bit of an interesting place. Oftentimes when we think of superheroes, we think of those that are in the comic books, right? They're generally either DC or Marvel comic characters and heroes. That's who we think of. Well, today, we're not going to go in search of our hero in either of those two camps. In fact, today's hero that helps us understand our faith and scripture is not rooted in comic books at all, but rather in a TV show from the early 1980s. The greatest American hero is who we will have as our friend this morning, as we consider Josiah's story, the story of the people of Israel and our story. The greatest American hero may not be familiar to all of you because, well, I know he wasn't familiar to me before I started researching for this series. He's an unlikely hero. His TV show ran for 3 seasons. There were 45 episodes from 1981 to 1983 that aired on ABC. So if you were not watching for a comedy in those years, you may have missed The Greatest American Hero. But don't fear. We'll learn a little bit about him this morning, and then you can go watch to your heart's desire later. The pilot for The Greatest American Hero was a 2-hour pilot. Now, that's not that uncommon now, but it was like a made-for-TV movie almost in its day. There is drama and action and comedy packed into that 2-hour pilot. The Greatest American Hero was introduced in that 2-hour pilot to America. And in it, we learn that the greatest American hero, he wasn't born great. Nor was there something tragic that happened in his life to bring him some superpowers. That's how many of the other superheroes end up with powers. Either something tragic happens to them or someone near them, or they're born into greatness. No, the greatest American hero, neither of those things are true. You see, the greatest American hero only has special powers when he's wearing his suit. You know, a bright red, tight-fitting superhero suit complete with a cape. All superheroes have to have that tight-fitting suit, right? You know the one I'm talking about. All right. So when he's not wearing the suit, our protagonist, Ralph, happens to be a special education teacher at a high school, where his class is made up of students who had the tendency to act out in class and misbehave. It's not a special education classroom full of students with physical or intellectual disabilities. These are just the troublemakers who've been sent to this classroom. And they've gone through teacher after teacher after teacher. And now they've been sent none other than Ralph as their teacher. Well, Ralph thinks that these kids aren't beyond saving. So he decides that he's going to rehabilitate them, that they can be some productive students and citizens at the high school. And he decides that just what they need is a field trip to the desert, the middle of nowhere, with a bunch of troublemakers on a school bus. There's a reason none of the other teachers had dared take these children out of the building. And Ralph decides, let's go for a field trip. So they load onto the school bus and start driving to the desert. And wouldn't you know, but they encounter some trouble on their way. In fact, their school bus breaks down in the middle of the desert. And it's there that Ralph has an encounter with aliens who give him this special suit that he is to wear, that they tell him has superpowers, and a nice leather-bound, gilded-edged book that's the instructions for how to use the suit. And before they even make it back to the school bus, Ralph has already dropped the instruction book and it's lost forever. Now, we're not unlike Ralph. There are things that we are given that we immediately lose or forget or drop. We're not unlike Ralph. We're also not unlike Ralph because we don't go around wearing big superhero logos and tight spandex suits with a cape most days. At least, we generally don't go around saving the world from one disaster and crisis after the next. We're ordinary people doing ordinary sorts of things, at least most of us. And that's how Ralph was living his life before his encounter with the aliens. But if we believe too much that we're just ordinary people, we also might be like Ralph and have dropped or lost something very important, even an important book. Ralph dropped his user's manual for his superhero suit, the one that told him what powers the suit had and how to access them without causing harm to himself or others. That sounds like a really helpful book to have held on to. Too bad he didn't. So within the first few minutes of having the suit and the instructions, Ralph has lost the instructions. Now that reminds me of a story that we read just a few minutes ago. The Israelites also lost a very important book. In their case, it looked more like a scroll. And they have that in common with Ralph. The Israelites, having been freed from Egypt and wandered around the wilderness, had crossed into the promised land. They'd fought some battles and been given judges to help keep them on the straight and narrow. And then they begged for more than just judges. They wanted a king because people around them had kings and they thought that that was pretty cool. So they wanted kings as well. And so eventually God relents and gives them a king, and they have Saul, and then they have David, and then they have many more kings. Some of them good, and some of them really not so good. They've had good kings, they've had bad kings, they've had good experiences following God, and they've had terrible, horrible, destructive leaders. It's been a mixed bag. I mean, there have been even some that have been pretty unremarkable. So after a period of some not so good kings, the people get a new king. This time he's different than the rest. As he ascends to the throne, Josiah is but 8 years old, a very young king, an unusual king for Israel. And Josiah begins to make good decisions for the people and for God. And he does what is right in the sight of God. And he doesn't turn to the left or turn to the right, we're told. But it's difficult for Josiah because he doesn't really have much of a road map to work off of. You see that scroll that they'd had long ago that told them how to be God's people. Well, it got lost when the temple was destroyed. So he begins to have some laborers rebuild the temple, the house of the Lord. And as they're doing it, they find a book, a scroll, and they realize it's of great importance. And so it's rushed to the king, and his secretary begins to read it to Josiah. And they soon discover that it's the lost book, the book of the law that they had been needing in their lives for so long, a book that tells them their story as God's people, the promises that they have made to God and that God has made to them, what their superpowers are as God's people, the covenant that they have with God is contained in the book of the law. And as Josiah is hearing this book read, he discovers that they have not lived up to their part, that they have disobeyed God, that they have not been the people they needed to be. And Josiah is distraught. He tears his clothes. He calls for mourning. The people have been disobedient to God and will surely suffer God's wrath. The people repent. They try to live the best they can according to the book of the law. They try to hold true. They renew themselves to God's promises, so that they can have access to the promises that God has given to them. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for Ralph. He's lost the book for good. 45 episodes, no instruction guide. It's gone. He has to figure out the superpowers of his suit on his own, often with comedic effect and minor catastrophe. For example, Ralph figures out how to take off and fly. He raises his arms like Superman, takes 3 running steps, and leaps into the air. And off he flies. And it takes him a while to figure out how to control his flight. And one thing that he really struggles the entire time to figure out is what comes next. The landing. First time he lands, he crashes headlong into a brick wall, knocks himself unconscious. It does get a little bit better from there, but he crashes frequently. It's never something that he masters well. It's hard to know how to land when you don't have the instruction book. And he has to figure out other superpowers too. He has super speed and and he has invisibility, and he has x-ray vision, and he has to figure out each one through trial and error. Ralph struggles because he doesn't have his instruction manual. But what does this all mean for us? What does Ralph, the greatest American hero, and Josiah, king of Israel, and us here in Hollywood, what do we all have in common? Well, each of us has a particular book that is of importance, great importance, perhaps, one that helps give our lives some direction and guidance. What is this book? You can say it out loud. It's the same one I had at the children's moment. It is. It's the Bible. Raise your hand if you have a Bible. Yeah, I think that's the vast majority of us. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you can't quickly put your hands on your Bible, if you don't quite know where it is. But I will say, if you have lost yours, or if you haven't ever had one to begin with, or if you can't quickly put your hands on yours and know where to find a Bible, please let me know. And I will make sure that I get you one in quick order, and I promise not to ask questions. Now, assuming that you do have a Bible, or at least will have one soon, let me caution you. It's not helpful to keep your Bible on a shelf where it will collect some dust bunnies. If Ralph had kept his instruction manual but still kept it on the shelf, he still wouldn't have known how to land when he flew. He still would have had to do trial and error to figure out x-ray vision and invisibility and super speed and all of the other superpowers that he had. What he needed was a book that he could read, that he could look at, that he could use to understand what was going on. It did him no good if it had been sitting on a shelf. We aren't given God's word in Scripture for it to be dead or a shelf sitter. We're given it because God's word is alive. It's dynamic, and it's there to influence our lives, to guide us, to form us, to shape us, and to help us understand that we have access to powers beyond ourselves. No cape necessary. We don't need to wear a special suit. We don't need to look good in spandex to be able to access the powers that God has given to us, that God has promised to us. God works through prayer. God works through us. Maybe you haven't been one who has performed a miracle, or maybe you have. Maybe you don't see yourself as a healer, but maybe you have been used in the healing of someone. Maybe you think you're not a good teacher, but someone's learned something from you. Maybe you haven't been the one to give a sermon, but God has certainly spoken through you. God calls us in many ways and gives us many gifts to be God's people in the world. So while the Bible isn't exactly written as an instruction manual or user's manual for life, it does provide us with guidance of how to live as God's people in the world, and shares that with us both through stories of examples and stories of things that are lessons not to repeat. The Bible contains stories of people who draw on God's power and by God's grace are able to do mighty things. There's a story of Moses. We heard of Moses being one of the characters lifted at the children's moment. There's Moses. He parts the Red Sea. And then as the people are wandering in the wilderness, he takes his staff and stabs it into a rock, and water flows for a thirsty people in a dry and dusty wilderness. That's some pretty cool superpower stuff right there. Yeah. And then there's Joshua. Joshua, the one who leads God's army, and they're going to take down the city of Jericho. And how do they do it? By walking. Get your sneakers on. Let's go. Walking around the city, day after day. And finally, they blow their trumpets, and the walls fall down. That sounds like some superhero stuff to me, too. And then there's Peter and John. They're headed to the temple one day, and they meet a man on the temple steps who's been lame his whole life, and he's begging for coins so that he can have a meal. And he happens to ask Peter and John, "Got any spare change? I mean, I'll even take silver and gold." Peter and John say, "You know, we don't, but we have something better. And by the power of God, stand up and walk." And the man who had been lame stands up and jumps and shouts and praises God. For God has done something mighty. And that seems like some superpower there too. God's power is great. So great, in fact, that we don't need our own superpowers to do amazing things. We just need God's power in us. God promises to be with us, to give us the power and strength that we need to carry out God's mission in the world, to further God's family and God's reign, God's kingdom on earth. We only need to believe in the saving power and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to trust our whole lives to God, to be a part of God's story. This is something we can all do, no matter if we are the age of Josiah when he took the throne of Israel at 8 years old or even younger, or if we are many times the age of Josiah. We can all draw on God's power through our relationship with God and our prayer life with Him. Thanks be to God. Amen.